Back here on the patio at the Public House, Adam Copeland, Carmen Q, Allie Williams with us, joined now by the Athletics' Grant Brisby. You've read him for years. He's a hilarious writer, hilarious guy. Seen him on TV, former colleague of Carmen's here.
Yeah.
And he's here to talk some Giants baseball with us. Grant, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much for having me. It's weird to actually look in your eyes as you talk, both of you. Like, ah.
Actually, we're not on the internet.
I've met you several times, but Adam, it's like, ah.
Yeah. Can I just tell a story that when I met Grant for the seventh time or something, I went up to give him a hug and he shook my hand.
I'm just saying.
it was weird.
It was the second time. And you can't just assume. It's sort of like, you know, you offer knuckles. And then if you bring it in, you bring it in. That's fine.
Well, you got to reach out because otherwise you end up in that weird situation, the half arm hug with the handshake, with the high five. You don't want to go awkward out the gate.
Absolutely. You know, and if you do a handshake, you can then, you know, bring it. It's like the tug and thumb.
It always ends with, I'm a hugger.
That's okay. I am too. I'm a very warm individual.
I think it's warm out here. It's warm out here, so maybe today handshake's better than anything. You've been covering the team or following the team for, I mean, were you a fan forever? Is this how this started?
Yeah. I grew up a fan. I was actually an A's fan when I was in middle school. And then I went away to college. My parents were diehard Giants fans. They had season tickets and stuff like that. And when I went to college, my connection to home was the Giants. And so I really started to get into the 95, 96, 97 teams. That's how it all started.
Yeah, I mean, those teams, so much character kind of reminds you of maybe the 2010, 12, 14. You got Rod Beck out there. The acquisition of Bonds comes in. And it all kind of started, I guess, with Brian Sabian taking over as the general manager. 96, and there's some symmetry, I think, between when Sabian took over, and it's funny because we're now sort of at the end of that era as well, to when Farhan took over. It's a transitional time. You're moving into a new era of baseball, even a new manager coming in next year.
And that is a good call. That's a good call because when Sabian took over, of course, he had the I'm not an idiot sort of comment at the press conference because people were saying he was an idiot. And it wasn't fair to him, and he was proven right. All those wacky moves he was doing, getting Jeff Kent, getting Vizcaino, he was proven right. And I think that a similar dynamic happened with Farhan this year, where you're in May, and there's like, you know, Connor Joe and Michael Reed and Tyler Austin, like, what, huh? Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah.
Come on. You had all offseason to prepare for this, Chunky. You know what I mean? Like, you had all offseason to prepare for this. What do you do? And then all of a sudden, like, there's a plan and a process. Okay. And now we're on this side of it, and it all makes a little bit more sense.
It's pretty good.
You know, one of the things I love about the way you write is I think about something, and I'm like, oh, I wish I knew that, but I'm too lazy to figure it out. Somehow you end up writing about things that populate my mind like that.
Like what?
Like this article you wrote, did the Giants actually make more transactions than they used to, or does it just seem like it? Because, you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh, my God, so many moves. Things are happening all the time, it seems like. But is that the truth?
Right.
Are they making more moves? So why don't you tell us about that?
Well, they are making more transactions. And it's a ton of waiver claims. They're not making more trades. They're not necessarily signing more minor league free agents. It's the waiver claims that they're constantly designating this guy for assignment, picking this guy up on waivers. They're designating this guy assignment, picking up this guy on waivers, then designating him 2 days later. Like, it's this constant churn to sort of see where these pieces fit, and it's got to be tough on the players, but you're seeing how it works. You're seeing all of a sudden a guy comes in and slots in right away immediately. Okay, now we've got a fit there. And it's a little exhausting, but it's working so far.
Grant Brisby with us. Is this fun for baseball fans, you think? I mean, when it's not going well, it's like, dude, give me some guys that I know. Give me consistency. You hear this, you mentioned being an A's fan. A's fans have dealt with this for years, the overturn of the roster and some of their favorite players then getting shipped out of town. There's something to be said about having a core group of guys, but so far these guys on the outside that they've brought in have been really good buffers, I think, to the stars or the anchors of this team.
That's a good way to put it. They're buffers. You can come to the ballpark, and you know you're going to see someone that you recognize. You know you're going to see Crawford or Belt or Posey, maybe Bumgarner every fifth day. At the same time, it's always exciting to have the new guys. It's always, I wonder if this guy is anything. It, just that little kernel in your head, the more you get of that, it kind of gets you watching again. And, you know, sometimes, like in the past, it might be Jarrett Parker, and you're excited for Jarrett Parker for a little bit. But now you've got, I don't know, some guys who might be around for the next couple of years with Dickerson, with Yastrzemski. So it's, you have the best of both worlds, It would be that much better if the old guys were doing a little bit better. Yeah. You know what I mean? If they were like crushing it and you had this steady parade of new
guys. You'd be the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You'd be as good as the LA Dodgers.
You had to put it like that, but that's exactly
that's kind of the way it went
exactly
down.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. What are you, because I know you spend a lot of time in the numbers, which I want to know, do you do that all yourself or do you have help at this point?
I do. I'm not like Ben Lindbergh. All right. So Ben Lindbergh, you know,
yeah,
of the
he's
Ringer.
Amazing.
Well, yeah, but he always has like help at the bottom of his articles. It'll always be like, thanks for baseball for prospectus for looking all this up on me. And stuff like that. It's like, Ben, how dare you? No, I do this all myself. It's all play index. I'm not a database guru. I just know how to kind of tickle baseball reference a little bit.
That's okay. It. You got to know where to hit the drop down menus on baseball reference, where to angle and where to search. Exactly. It's like using a database.
Exactly. And you fail enough and then you succeed in it.
So. Well, I would say a lot of the stuff that you do probably requires a lot of research because I'm also looking at another article you did that was looking at all the guys that have come and gone through the roster this season and where they are now.
Yeah.
How long did that take you? Because there's a lengthy list.
It's embarrassing. I have kind of a reputation. I write that very quickly. And my editors just laugh at me because I'm always like, I don't know if I'm going to have something today. Like, I have to do all this research, and I want to make sure I do it right. And then, like, 3 hours later, it's like, I barfed this up, edit it. So that took me about, I didn't say 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. But just the easiest things to write are the capsules where I can write a paragraph on every player. Like, I can spit out a paragraph on Michael Reed or Connor. You know what I mean? Like, I just, bleh, and that's my thoughts of the guy.
So I wonder about, you're talking about players that have come and gone, the transactions on the roster. Something I'm interested in, and maybe this is an idea for you because I don't want to do the work. Everybody's always got a great idea for somebody else, right?
I will take them.
Here you go. Something great for you to do, Grant, is I'm wondering what the record is for major league debuts on one roster in one season.
Oh,
and I don't know whether the Giants are close or not, but there have been so many. I mean, I'm talking Tyler Rogers, and I know Dubon didn't debut with the Giants, but he's a rookie who's come up. We're talking Sam Selman, Logan Webb, Sean Anderson. There's at least 10 guys that made their major league debut, I think, for the Giants this year. I don't know what the record is.
My educated guess would be that, A, the record has been set recently by someone, and B, it's not the Giants. That just the way baseball is now, there's a constant churn, and that's every organization, good or bad. You know, you're playing around with the 10-day disabled list, getting guys up with options, things like that. I would think it's someone like the Orioles, just a team that bottomed out, and they don't have the panic. They don't have the Crawford, the Belts, the Longoria in place. They got nothing. So they're just like, that sort of stuff.
I do want to talk to you a little bit about the core guys, because we've talked so much about the guys moving through the system or getting called up. But the core guys, you know, we just talked a little off the air where I'm like, Grant, you always say really nice stuff about Brandon Belt, and you're always in defense of him. But this year, you know, maybe not as much. What do you feel like the guys, that the core guys really need to do? Do you think they're even going to be around to do it next year?
It's a tricky, tricky question because they are luxuries to have on a team with a ton of things that are going right. If the team just was humming in all these areas, Brandon Belt's not going to be your biggest problem. Brandon Crawford's not going to be your biggest problem. He's going to be someone who's going to provide solid defense, and if you're hitting him eighth, you know, great, you've got this guy. You'll upgrade when you absolutely need to. Where the Giants are, they're going to have a lot of parts still to fill. The lineup isn't just a smooth, well-oiled machine, so they're going to have to figure out, how do we get better? Where can we get better? Traditionally, one of the easier places to do that is at first base. I don't think you're going to find someone this offseason who's going to, you know, provide the guaranteed production that Belt has, so I think he's safe. Crawford, though, with Dubon, I mean, maybe you've got, there's a glut of second basemen around this league, so maybe second base is where you improve, and then you've got the right-handed Dubon maybe sliding in a little bit for Crawford.
What do you think about, I mean, they moved into this ballpark in 2000. I was thinking about this actually this morning. Since 2000, I mean, they come in, they've got Dusty Baker as manager. Following that, you get Felipe Alou, and then, of course, now Bruce Bochy. They're going to have their fourth manager in the last 20 years, which I was trying to think across baseball. The only team I can think of that maybe had as many or fewer is the Yankees, right? They had Torrey in 2000. They went Girardi, and now they've got Aaron Boone. I don't know that there's any other franchise that has had just three managers in a 20-year span. I'm looking to, I mean, it would be disrespectful to start talking about who the next manager is going to be with the final month here, Bruce Bochy. But I wonder how important that is to the future of the franchise to have a guy that's an anchor here and really a captain at the top of the, or at the helm.
I think there's a misconception that managers aren't as important as they used to be because they're getting all these numbers from the front office and they're saying, play this guy, don't play that guy. I think it's a misconception because, A, the manager is always going to be the one writing the actual lineup card.
Right.
He can, you know, tell the superiors to shove it whenever he want, whenever they want to. But at the same time, you have to have a guy who gets the players to buy in to these numbers. And when they're saying, listen, you know, here's why we're doing this, here's why we're playing you here, here's why we're setting you up here, here's why. And you have to have a manager that can be that guy who can convey that and convey it well and just get the buy-in. And it's also just a grind. 162 games? Come on.
It's a long time, man.
It's a lot.
You've got to manage these personalities pretty darn well. So it's very, very important to get a guy who can just deal with the grind, deal with the numbers. It's an important job.
One of the things that I think, you know, Bruce Bochy does a really, really good job. There's no way to argue that he doesn't. One of the things that I think is both frustrating and wonderful is he's so loyal to the guys that he's worked with for a long time. Buster Posey in the three spot.
Sure.
What?
Yeah.
I just want to know what your thoughts are. You know, he did make a statement where he said, like, these are the guys, this is what I'm doing, and we're not going to change that. What are your thoughts, Grant? I feel like you might have a few.
Yeah, that's not great. And the line I had from earlier this year is it's not managerial malpractice to have Buster Posey hitting cleanup or third or wherever he is in the middle of the order. It's
managerial malpractice. That's a great term. Yeah.
You know, it's not managerial malpractice, but it's in a better lineup, of course you want Posey hitting seventh or eighth. And I think now the Giants are cycling through some guys where you might have that lineup where it is a little bit questionable to have, you know, Posey that high. One of the big worries when Bochy came over to the Giants is that the Padres let him go because he kept playing Vinny Castilla. And he's like, you give me this guy, I'm going to play him. You don't want me to play him, get him off the roster.
Yeah.
So they got him off the roster, and nobody else wanted him because he was cooked. And like, but that's the kind of loyalty. He's just, that's a veteran. He's going to exercise that loyalty to the guy. So when he came over, I was like, oh, ruh-roh, like, this is going to be bad. You know, obviously it worked out. But he's going to have loyalty, and that's not always a bad thing. There's going to be value in consistency, value in your veterans coming, and even the younger players going and not going, all right, where am I? Am I in Sacramento? Am I hitting third? Like, what's going on? There's, like, value to having a nice, stable manager.
It's funny that you mentioned that like, Bochy had that loyalty to a player, because it seems like, and I'm not saying this is going to happen with the Giants, but the conversation keeps being had that we're getting closer and closer to, like, Stephen Vogt's name has been mentioned, right? Is he going to be a player manager? I saw somebody yesterday.
Right.
Tweet out maybe Nick Hundley was a possibility.
Right. They got to fight.
Yeah, so they're gonna square off, and maybe they'll trade off games
fight.
When Vogt's catching, then Nick Hundley will be managing the team. But I wonder how close we are to a guy stepping off the field and immediately into a managerial position, and if you're still gonna run into that situation where it's not just about listening to the front office and analytics. This guy maybe just played with some of these guys. There's going to be that loyalty and camaraderie that maybe he doesn't want to take a Vinny Castillo out of the lineup for Sean Burrows. I think that's the guy
right.
who came into third base. After Castilla.
Right. It, but then there's that tricky part where you better be darn sure that that's the right guy, because all of a sudden you come back the next year, it's like, oh, man, Vogt?
I can't stand that guy. Like, everyone, what's the big deal? I don't get it.
No, I think it's entertaining, and I think it would be a lot of fun to have the manager come up and pinch hit.
Yeah.
And
everyone's
sort of coming up.
Calls his own number. Yeah.
Yeah, just like, yeah, no, I'm starting. I mean, Pete Rose was the last player manager, and he was terrible at it because he kept writing himself into lineup to chase Ty Cobb. And obviously, that's a really weird situation in baseball history, but it's like, I don't know. Player manager just sounds fun. It's something that maybe should be tried more. And when you've got a guy like Vogt, and everyone's doing the timeout, and when they're getting to second base,
tee him up.
Yeah. Is it a technical?
Yeah.
Sorry, that's me. I don't follow hockey. So maybe he's the guy. I don't know. It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you mentioned, you wrote an article about whether this bench is, you know, the best bench the Giants have seen in a little bit. And you were talking about, you know, Stephen Vogt. And honestly, when they had Nick Hundley, I was thinking, this guy is like the best backup catcher ever. And then they got Stephen Vogt, and I was like, no, this guy is the best backup catcher ever.
Right, because when he's in for the starter, you're not going, oh, okay. You're going like, ooh, maybe we'll get some dingers.
Yeah,
you know?
Don't sleep on a Hector Sanchez, by the way. He had a pretty good run here for a little bit.
Kuroz, wasn't that a guy too?
Kuroz. He had a walk-off homer against the Dodgers.
He did. I remember the joy on his face.
You can go with Steve Holm, maybe, one of those guys. I don't know. There's all kinds of weird backup catchers have come through.
No, let's see if I could. Yamid Hod.
Yamid Hod, good call. That's
an
04
brain.
Yeah. Maybe Guillermo Rodriguez. That's another one. Quiroz and Rodriguez. I think Guillermo Rodriguez, and I got to drop this note before we get out, got his first major league hit in the middle of June on the same day that Tim Lincecum and Jonathan Sanchez got their first big league hits.
Ooh.
Bizarre, right? Middle of June, three guys. There's a little nugget for you to take with you.
Where were you?
I was sitting in 313, row 4, seat 11. That's
in
where I was.
In your makeout seats?
In my makeout seats. Yeah.
Oh, my.
It's hot out here. All right, Grant, we appreciate you coming by, man. Thanks for spending some time with us on the patio.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, keep checking out Grant in the Athletic. He's doing a great job this season. He and Brisby also, or Brisby and Baggerly also have a podcast that you can hear on the Athletic as well, right? A couple times a week.
Absolutely, two times a week, Bags and Brisby.
Fantastic.